This morning, our scripture comes from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And the seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last Sunday, we were filled with the power of Pentecost, fiery tongues, and the wind of the Spirit. This Sunday, we encounter a vision from the prophet Isaiah, a vision of power, a vision of awe, a vision of worship, a vision of unworthiness, and a vision of hope. Now, many times when I read the prophets and I see these visions and I read through them and I hear them spoken, I wonder where the prophets found something so good that they could see these things. Okay, I wonder what they took and how good it could be. And if I was younger, I'd wonder where I could get it. The prophets' visions are incredibly odd, especially the two prophets that we hear about often, Isaiah and Ezekiel. Ezekiel has these great, great visions. The opening vision of the prophet Ezekiel is he is on the riverbank in exile in Babylon, and the Spirit of God yanks him by the top of his head into the temple. And he sees these four wonderful creatures with looked like humans with four faces and wings all over the place and other things going with them and wheels, and it's just an incredible vision. Isaiah is not quite so wild as Ezekiel, but still, how can we comprehend these visions of seraphs, these six-winged things that are there attending God? The visions that we hear from the prophets are visions that are incredible. They're beyond comprehension. They're amazing. And that is kind of the point of the visions. While we may wonder what interesting things Isaiah and Ezekiel may have had to cause them to see these wondrous things, the thing is that these visions are meant to be beyond understanding because they are visions of God. Isaiah's vision begins with God sitting on a throne. The hem of his robe is so huge it fills the temple in Jerusalem. That's a big hem. That's just the hem of the robe. Imagine the wonder and glory of the rest of God. In that simple statement, we see and hear about God's power and God's wonder. We become enveloped in the mystery of God, who God is and who God could be. The description that we hear in Isaiah's vision leaves us with no doubt about God's power. And Isaiah stands in awe of God. He stands in awe of the seraphs. He's there. He hears these winged creatures call out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole of earth is filled with his glory." Now, I can't echo what the seraphs are doing, but Isaiah shares with us that it's so loud that the earth trembles. How absolutely awe-inspiring. Isaiah is overpowered by them. The majesty of God is described in those words. It fills the earth. And Isaiah is struck by the sheer holiness of the moment. And there he finds himself unworthy. "Here I am, one of unclean lips, and I live among those who have unclean lips." He cries out, "Woe is me, I'm not fit to be here." And yet, here I am. The mystery of God. You see, Isaiah knows a little bit about how awful the people are, the people of Judah. The first five chapters of the prophet is God telling Jerusalem and Judah how absolutely horrible they are. They're awful. They treat people in ways that God does not want them to be treated. They call out the leadership. It's harsh, it's direct. And Isaiah knows that he is part and parcel to this. It's kind of one of those things. You can be complicit with something even though you're not a part of making it happen. And so Isaiah knows that he is complicit in the suffering caused by the people of Judah. And so he knows that he is unworthy. But God knows it too. And so we have the vision of the seraph coming with the coal to cleanse the lips of Isaiah, burning away what was unclean and offering Isaiah forgiveness. This isn't just a vision. It's a powerful statement of wonder, of grace, forgiveness, of hope, and of love. It encompasses all that God is and all that God wants us to be. It changes the way that Isaiah sees God, and it changes the way that Isaiah understands his call. And I think that's why when God speaks at the very end of this section and says, "Who will go for us?" we hear Isaiah say, "Here am I. Send me." So the question that you might be thinking on this of Trinity Sunday is, why on earth do we have this scripture included with those for this Sunday, in this Trinity Sunday? Well, I'll help you out with that. Some scholars will argue that the vision helps us to understand the Trinity in the words of the seraph, "Holy, holy, holy, three holies, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit." When God speaks and says, "Who will go for us?" it means that God is saying, there is more than just me, it is us. God as creator, God as redeemer, God as sustainer. That's part of the reason that this scripture, this vision of Isaiah, gets used when we talk about Trinity Sunday. But I think there's a little more than that. And I think there might be just a little bit, something a little bit different for us to understand. Because I think this vision is not just about, actually, let me rephrase that. I don't think this vision is about the Trinity at all. But I think it is about the wonder and mystery of God. This brief scene that we have, we get filled with the awesome power of God. We are stunned by the bellows of the seraphs as to the holiness of God. We are humbled by the absolute mystery of who God is. Like Isaiah, we cannot fathom standing in the presence of this God, this one who is above all things that we can imagine. And yet, here we stand. Here we still are called by God, forgiven and made new through the grace and love of Christ. God restores us so that we might answer the call, "Here am I, send me." When we think about this doctrine of the Trinity that we celebrate this morning and we remember this morning, we have to remember that it is an interpretation of who God may be, given our encounters with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. It is a way for us to try and understand the wonder and the mystery of God. And just as Isaiah and Ezekiel try to describe who God is in their visions, we try to describe God in a way that shares our experiences, in a way that shares what we know of God through Christ and through God's Spirit. And much like Isaiah and Ezekiel, I think sometimes we fall miserably short. We don't have words good enough to describe the wonder, mystery, amazing, incredible God that we worship, that we encounter on a daily basis. God who is creator, God who is redeemer in Christ, God who is sustainer in spirit. And so we take our shortcoming descriptions and we share to the best of our abilities. We share visions and we dream dreams. We speak of God known to us as Father, Son, and Spirit. We speak of the one who is creator, redeemer, and sustainer. We wrestle with who God is and how unworthy and unprepared we are to witness to God's love. And we tell the world of the one whose glory fills the earth. One who loves us enough to become like us. Who lived, who died, who was raised in glory and faith, so that we might know a part, a really slim part, of who God is and how much God loves us. Amen.
Thank you.
May God bless and keep us. May God give strength to the people. May God bless God's people with peace, and may God's blessing be with us. God who creates, redeems, and restores, may he be with you now and always. Amen.